The following programming is sponsored by Mancini Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Marianne Castello, and Danielle Orsino. Talking sports, entertainment, and hot topics. Let's get the conversation started on Liberty Bell Smack, right here, right now. Yes, it's that time again for Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860 every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. And that's primetime drive time for you folks in the East. And you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. You could tune in to WWDB AM Talk 860. But if you're not in Philly or we are going dark at this time of year, you can catch us on HD2 radio station 97.5, or you can listen to us anytime, anywhere by downloading the WWDB radio app, or you could click listen live on the WWDBAM.com website, or better yet, you can call to listen or talk to us at 888-329-3306, or you could find us on Facebook Live on WWDB AM Talk 860 page, or our very own Liberty Bell Smack page. I am Marianne Castello, one of your hosts. And to give you a little background about me, I have a dynamic presence in the realm of holistic health and wellness, serving as a board certified holistic healthcare practitioner and a licensed massage therapist. Beyond my clinical practice, I remain a prominent figure in media, hosting my own TV and radio shows, and as a motivational speaker. I'm a best-selling, award-winning, and critically acclaimed author from the Los Angeles Tribune, and I'm passionate about music and currently touring the world with Nectar, the legendary rock band. But that's enough about me. Now I see a beautiful girl sitting right now in the green room, and she has a string of awards under her belt. She is a celebrated fantasy novelist who dreams of crafting immersive realms for her audience. Her compelling word weaving pays homage to a multitude of personal muses, from Chris Claremont and George Perez to Anne Rice, Jim Henson, and Wonder Woman. She currently resides in the Vale with her pups, Carlos and Penelope. I don't know if we'll hear them tonight, but maybe. Writing, cosplaying, ignoring the real world. She's watching football and practicing martial arts. Let's welcome our host, Danielle Orsino. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Marianne. How you doing? I'm sure we will hear Carlos and Penelope at some point tonight. I can already hear them wandering around outside the door. So yeah, we probably will hear a little bark or something.
So they really want to be on the show?
Carlos does. Carlos loves to dress up and he loves attention. He could give the queens on RuPaul's Drag Race a run for their money. He loves dressing up. He dressed up for Halloween. Yes. Penelope, not so much, but Carlos, yes. He's a star in the making. I'm positive of it. Yes.
Did you get pup cups for them?
They have pup cups, but they're spoiled as it is. So they get them regardless. They get their treats and all that stuff, no matter what. It doesn't really mean to take a special occasion. They're going to give me the eyes and they're going to get it. So, you know,
they know you, much. They have mom wrapped around their little finger.
Well, but who Carlos doesn't? Likes curly fries.
Oh, really?
He's got it. Oh yeah. He loves curly fries. That's our thing. Like when we watch football, he knows, like if it's Monday night or Thursday night game, Sunday night game, he knows it's fry time. So he's ready to go. And he sits there with me and literally I'm eating on the couch. I get one, he gets one, I get one, he gets one. And we do this whole thing. And he's watching it with me. So yeah, he knows. Penelope eats anything, but it's not like she's like, oh, it's fry time. Him? No, he's drooling and he's like, let's go. You know, he's like, yeah, sure, Giants, whatever. Yep. Mm-hmm. Fry time. So he's a curly fry dude.
He's a curly fry dude. That's not bad though.
No.
You know, talking about dudes right now.
Yes.
Are you ready for it? Tomorrow night, streaming on Netflix, is the fight of all fights. It's Iron Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, right? I cannot believe this is happening. I mean, Iron Mike back in the ring. And I can't believe it. He's 58 years old already. I mean, I remember him back in his prime.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, really. And you know what? He's in the heavyweight division, right? Mm-hmm. Picture this in the ring. He's 5'10" tall, right? Mm-hmm. And he weighs in at 220 pounds. 220 yeah. pounds, okay? Versus Jake Paul, who he's in a different class. He's in the cruiserweight class.
Right.
He's 6'1", so his reach is probably a lot longer. Actually, no. Yeah, it would be longer because he's 6'1".
It would be, yeah, but it's a little, it's when close. You look at the difference, though, style-wise, because I've met Tyson. Uh-huh. And I was supposed to have his picture taken with him, but that's a whole other GalaxyCon story. And I was going to do the Mike Tyson knockout punch. Like I wanted to be uppercutting him. But we didn't get a chance to do it. We'll do it next time.
Okay.
But when you look at it's actually, if you watch Tyson's hips, his hip rotation, he has a very different hip rotation than most boxers. And his right. power is so different that even though Paul, the reach is one thing, you just can't, that the power that he generates from that rotation.
Right.
It just can't be, you got to just look out. And he's built like unbelievable. It's like he's a square sometimes when you get right. really close. You know, I mean, fight weight versus when he's signing autographs and stuff and he's not, you know, at his fight weight is different.
Right.
But it's just his body mechanics are really what puts him over the edge with everything, especially the hook. He throws more of a Mexican hook a lot of times with his thumb up.
Right.
And it gives him that little extra that he pops. He's all on his own.
Well, have you been watching the press conferences they've been having?
I don't usually watch a lot of the press conferences because I wait to me, a lot of it's just showmanship now before you get in, like, let's get in the ring and then we'll do the talking. But I've heard about them. Have you been watching them?
Yeah. I have to tell you, Jake Paul is talking a lot of smack here.
Oh, now, of course he is.
He's 27 years old, like, you know, versus a 58 year old. But Mike Tyson just sits there, and I think it's an act, where he just sits there, and they're talking mm-hmm. at him, and he just sits there, and he comes out, I just want to fight. He's going down.
No, I think
down.
That's Tyson.
And he just does. He's him. Going down. I'm winning. That's it. And like a reporter gets up to ask a question. They're like, you know, what do you think is going to happen on this? Like, who's going to hit the thing? And he goes, I'm winning, so it's me. And then she goes, but what if it doesn't? What, you know, what if you get, he goes, again, I told you who's going to win the fight. That's all he says, right?
I think and that's I'm thinking, Tyson,
he had like, I think his boxing record, he had like 58 fights, right? He had 50 wins. 44 of the 50 were by knockout. That's scary. Versus you have 11 fights. I think Jake Paul was saying he had 11 fights. He had 10 wins and 7 were by knockout, but they were talking about like he's fighting people like beneath him, like where he
yes,
has to
he yeah, he's not, nobody's challenging him really. He's got to go down to the level, you know, versus that they always have to fight up to him and he's got to come down versus right. Tyson who's
exactly. Tyson. And Jake Paul, he's talking a lot of stuff. Now, if he believes what he's saying, right, by I'm going to win, I know it, and you really believing it, you could talk yourself into winning something like this. But have you seen the training videos right now of Mike Tyson?
Oh, yeah.
Quick. His feet are quick. His hands are quick. And then when they were standing there, they obviously didn't have boxing gloves on. And when they were standing straight looking at each other when they had them doing that, the size of the hands on Mike Tyson without a boxing glove versus amazing. Jake Paul, it was like night and day. I couldn't believe it. And I'm going, could you imagine a right hook just like hit?
It's done. No. Tyson is still Tyson. I mean, it's like regardless, but I think what Tyson is, I remember hearing an interview and I think it was Stern when he just said, I've lost millions upon millions of dollars.
Right.
He's like, what else I got to lose? And I'm like, yeah, he's been at the bottom. He's been from the top and gone to the bottom and climbed back up. There's nothing you can say to this man. You know, take out all the personal stuff. Like we all have our points of view on him and Robin Givens and whatever. I got that. I'm not talking about him as an idol or anything like that. I'm just talking to him strictly as a person who's been at the bottom, worked his way up, been back at the bottom and worked his way up. I don't think he's scared of anything. That's why I think when he sits there and goes, I'm going to win, like that's it. That's his point of view. I don't think that's an act versus the other guy who, yes, I think he's trying to talk himself up into it. Cause there is something you do hype yourself up. As a competitor, I hype myself up. I've been there. I am not a trash talker to the other competitors. I've never been that. Have I been trash talked to? Many times.
Right.
I've had people trash talk me as I'm getting into the ring to compete against them. And they're coming out like doing forms. I've had guys hip check me, shoulder check me as we're crossing paths and hit into me where I've had to move out of the way because they're trying to knock me off before I even get in the ring.
Right.
Or I've had as we're walking by them saying stuff like, you're losing, you're going to lose, you suck. And martial arts is supposed to be so respectful. We're not. We're not. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not. Like, yeah, okay, bow. Yes, sensei. We're none of that when we're competing. I've had my nose broken after a fight. I've had people pull my hair. I've had my face scratched. Like, things that happen were not nice. I've had people boo at me. I've had girls say very nasty things in the middle of the fight when we're clenched, just to like hope that you'll hit them in a way that will get a point taken off or something like that. No, we're not. Yeah, we're so respectful. No, we're not. We're dirty fighters. And I'm a dirty fighter too. I'm going to be the first one to admit this. And right now, God forbid my instructor is listening. He's going to be so mad at me. But when we do point sparring, it's, you know, it's like, let's say it's to 5 points.
Right.
There's nothing below the belt. What you do is you wait to see which side they favor. Like if they block with, let's say, their right arm, all you do is round kick the crap out of that right arm until it's pink. So they stop blocking with it. And then you get your point in. We do stuff like that. Like we're not, you know, like I would sit there and I'd look at the chick and I'd be like, oh, you're fast, but you're right. Like maybe they throw a right jab real quick.
Right.
I'm going to make that arm so pink and sting so much that I'm going to deaden it. So you can't throw it. And you got to drop it down. Now I go right up and I hit you in the face. Like, is it nice? No. But, you know, sometimes like you take, if they're quick with their front leg, you do one low kick really good and you take the warning and then you got them dead leg. Well, now, you know, you don't have your best weapon.
Right.
So some of it's talk and then some of it's just dirty fighting.
Well,
so it depends.
Well, yeah. And it does depend. And what Jake was doing is that he went up and down all the other boxers that'll be boxing in all the different matches and said, who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's going to win? He went down the whole panel.
Yeah,
by the way, Tyson won
that
by a couple, right? He had some fans. And then he walked up to everyone that said, Tyson, how much money are you willing to put on this fight right now, right now? Somebody said $1 million. Another one said $1 million. One said $20. One was doing
$20. Good guy.
And he sits back down with his microphone and he's like, he goes, well, and I'm going to draw up the contracts right after this. Everybody, you're going to pay up. Watch what happens. This is the stuff he was doing that I was like, and Mike Tyson is just sitting there, just cool and just kept looking down at his microphone and not saying anything.
That's a pro. That's a pro. You don't have to say anything. When you know you're that good, there is no reason for you to be showboating. You just sit there and you're just like, I know what's going to happen. So why do I have to do all this other stuff? You know, it's like walking in a flashy outfit versus somebody who's elegant.
Right.
To get the attention. Like to me, that's great, Jake. Like, do what you got to do. But that's Tyson, the legend. What's he going to do? You know? I mean, I think it'd be funny if he came out like to Copacabana instead of something else. Like his walkout music was something really funny. Like he came out to Copacabana with like a feather boa and he was like, let's get going. Because he's just so like, I'm Tyson. I don't need any of this.
No.
Here's the thing though.
And he's treating really good. So
he's treating it too much like it's a wrestling match versus a boxing match, okay? He's acting like he's the face or the heel or whatever. Meanwhile, Tyson is literally going to scar this man alive. He's going to take his ear.
We all know what happens when Tyson gets a little upset.
By the way, when you talked about the ear, he came out with a diamond piece over his ear to say he's protecting his ear from this fighter. He did do that because he had diamond necklaces on, diamond watches, everything was diamonds, and he got a diamond cuff to go over his ear. So he's like, this way, this doesn't get bitten off in this fight.
Why do I think Tyson did like CBD gummies in the shape of an ear? Half bitten like years ago. I think he did that.
Dark.
I checked that out, but I thought it was so genius. I'm like, yeah, here you go. Right. Like, that's what makes you good. But I'm pretty sure he sponsored or did something and they were gummy ears. Like, he did something. And I was like, you see? Or somebody like presented that to him. And there was something about that a couple years ago. And I'm like, there you go. Like, that's why he's Tyson. You don't have to do, but like I said, I still think it'd be funny if his walkout music was, like I said, Copacabana or the Pina Colada song, and he just like went out like that, like, I got this, I don't need anything else. I think that would be pretty good.
I think he should come out to the song Tequila, because when it goes dun 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 dun, dun, they could go Tyson instead of Tequila.
Yes.
Just the like whole place. Like, I just had that visual. Sorry, that's where my mind went. I'm like, could
or
you imagine
from,
that?
The Hangover, the Phil Collins song.
Oh. Exactly.
Like, you know? And he just like walked out like that.
It's true. Like,
there's a sense of humor. I appreciate that.
Right.
You know, like, I just, like, I would, my walkout music has been Show Me What You Got, Little Mama, and I Wish I Was a Little Bit Taller.
Right.
Like, you know, because I'm going to do I Wish I Was a Little Bit Taller because I do.
Tell
like,
me
I don't
guy
do anything too serious.
Jake is not shaking in his shoes because when Tyson wasn't talking at this press conference, he barely said a word. They even said, what does this mean to you? And he's like, I don't know. I think it's kind of rude, but I think Tyson was playing a head game. Like, I'm not talking anymore. It's done. Like, I've said what I had to say. And you could see
in
his face and by his breathing, because he was rapidly breathing, that I'm thinking, listen, he's saying his mom's saying you should do this fight, but be careful and all. I'm like, my mom would be telling me, run out of that rink as fast as you can. Like, do not do this. But the good thing is, if you are already streaming Netflix, the fight is free.
Yes.
You don't have to pay. Because I remember being young and back in the days when you even had Evander Holyfield, George Foreman, all these big fights, you would get in there. But if you had a Tyson fight, you spend like, what was it, $40, $50, sometimes $60. And then within the first round, first 50 seconds, boom, done. It's like, what? What
and you were
happened?
Just like,
are you
that's
kidding?
It.
Can you at least run around the rink a little bit to get our money's worth? Like, you couldn't believe it.
I need an Apollo Creed living in America kind of like moment just to pay for this, you know?
And speaking of paying for things, we do have our very first commercial because people have been listening to us every show, becoming part of the Liberty Bell Smack family. And we want you to hear this because this could be you. We'll be back right after this.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the indie publishing process? On the Page Author Services is here to help you. From editing and social media management to marketing and advertising and building your newsletter, we handle all the details so you can get back to what you love, writing. Whether you're an established author in need of personal assistance services or just starting out, we've got the expertise to guide you. Simplify your author journey with On the Page Author Services, where your success is our passion. Visit OTPAuthorservices.com today and book your free consultation.
Heart attacks and strokes don't stay home. When seconds count, call 911. The hospital is the safest place to be. Visit heart.org/don't die of doubt. Brought to you by the American Heart Association.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelsey Cole Nelson, a sports reporter and host based in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, where I cover everything from basketball and football to tennis and hockey, a little bit of everything in between, sideline reporting and so much more. If there's sports on it, I'm there covering it. But, you know, something I always love that sports has brought me to is the great city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, where one, I'm a Rocky girl. I can watch every Rocky movie probably multiple times. And I'm a Southern girl. So I love me a good Philadelphia cheesesteak because I like good eat. So always a good time in Philadelphia. My East Coast brother, you could say. I'm an East Coast girl. So Philadelphia will always have love from me, KNN. Thanks, everyone. So great to see you all. Bye, guys.
And we are back on Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. And it's myself, Marianne, along with Danielle Arsino and our very own chosen producer, Tyler, always chiming in and ready to go. And you can call us at any time during the show to bring up any hot, hot, hot topic when we get there. And also, you could do that by calling in at 888-329-3306. And we'd love to hear from you. Now, I have to tell you something great, Danielle, that happened today.
All ears.
Okay, so go to this little Italian joint. We walk in, and who is there but Bruce? He's from Deco Entertainment, our record label for Mission Ooh. To Mars. We had an entire conversation that was so enlightening. And for those of you, I'm going to remind our audience, because I have to do this, right?
Yeah.
Deco is responsible for our CD for Nectar, Mission to Mars, as you know, and with the commemorative booklet. And in that commemorative booklet, we have fan photos and things that we're taking on the road beside the band.
Nice.
And they are responsible for it. And Deco personally delivers things to their artists. And I brought this up, but I'm going to show it again. Nectar's new album, the actual album of Mission to Mars. And thank you, Tyler, for playing Mission to Mars. I hear that. It was great artwork. And with this, I got to show this to you. The LP is purple splatter.
It's all gorgeous.
Purple splatter. Absolutely love it.
Magic.
It's like magic, you know. You know, you were mentioning the half-eaten gummies on the last segment. Could you imagine having one of them and then seeing this? That could take you on your trip to Mars. But
exactly.
I have to tell you that Memphis Record Press actually did these. And if you go on to Facebook, and you could find that on my page, or you could go to Deco Entertainment as well and Nectar pages, it shows you the making of how they took crystals and how they made it into its pressing. And with all of the bass sounds, I mean, the bottom end on this record is absolutely fantastic because of the grooves that they have
really
on here.
Really cool. You can actually see that, like, it almost looks iridescent way I'm looking.
It's
like,
really
it does.
Cool.
It really
and
does
it's clear,
like
you know, see how you can see it is definitely clear. And
that's
for you folks, you can see us on Facebook Live right now on Liberty Bell Smack or WWDB's page, so you can see it. And inside of the record, not only, remember the old-fashioned way they used to do the lyrics and everything?
I loved that.
Everybody who was responsible of our fans trying to make this happen. And you can find this album on Deco Entertainment or Nectar's Music, that's with an S, N-E-K-T-A-R-S, music.com for Mission to Mars, as it's climbing the charts, getting a tour ready and all. But I have to tell you, if you are a recording artist, you do need Deco Entertainment. And the reason for that is their personal touch. Did you ever have companies of anything you ever done? And in our cases, authors and publishing companies that just don't have the personal touch, but they're there and they're saying, I'm going to do this for you and I'm going to do this for you. And I'm going to do
100%.
I got to tell you, if we run out of a CD, if we run out of the LP of Mission to Mars, they actually come to us right to the studio at Chelandaland Studios and deliver them. They are always there. No, they're fantastic. If they're not there,
that's amazing.
You know, I like people that could sit down at a table and break bread with you and just enjoy a conversation where just the conversation flows, you know, and they help make Mission to Mars possible. I'm going to give this is a hot, hot, hot right off the press that we do know that Black Friday, the best shopping day of the year, and Cyber Monday's coming. And there is a song, I'm not going to give away which one, this, where there is a new lyric video going to be released. So this way you could get discounts on some of the new stuff from Nectar and Journey to the Other Side, which is behind me as well with the little yellow circle. All these things will become available, but Deco is putting, you know, this video together so we can release it. And it's one of the songs on here. You know what? In fact, I'm going to say this. If you are a Nectar fan, and you can guess which song, I'm not giving the song titles, you have to know the album, all right? And you call us right now at 888-329-3306. We will give you, we will send you either a CD or an LP, whichever you want, you can have if you can guess what lyric video you think they're putting out next. How about that? That's what I'm going to do.
Take the album, guys. Yeah.
I think the album's cool. I really do.
Take the album.
And the artwork is impressive. And the artwork is by Helmut Wensker. And he is a famous artist. And he's in his 80s. He's done every single cover. Since inception for Nectar. And this is one of them.
It's beautiful.
He does that. And right now, we are currently working on the second installment of Mission to Mars because it's going to be a trilogy. So we're currently writing that. Rich, if you hear the music on this show here, the theme music coming in for Liberty Bell Smack, courtesy of Rich Alanda. So thank you so much for that. Yes, he's very good and talented. And he's here writing with Derek Mo Moore of Nectar and getting it together also with Kendall Scott. They're starting to write the second part of the trilogy, The Story Goes On, with Mission to Mars. So I wanted to say, Bruce, if you're listening, because I know you're listening tonight, I want to say thank you so much for being the gentleman that you are. I want to give a shout out to Charlie and to Rob and Cal. They are dynamos when they do this stuff. Again, they're the personal touches. They're the ones also running out and getting things done for us. You can email them. They email you back. You hear from them. It doesn't get lost in like the abyss, you know?
That's
fantastic.
Awesome.
So Deco Entertainment, you can find them at decoentertainment.com. That's D-E-K-O entertainment.com. But I had to tell you that that was my hot, hot, hot topic. And I'm waiting for somebody to call in, a Nectar fan. I know you're listening. I could see you're listening. By the way, Donna says hello to everybody. She's
hi, Donna.
You call that number 888-329-3306. You tell me which one of those songs on the new album of Nectar's Mission to Mars, and you get a free copy. Matter of fact, we'll probably get it autographed for you too. How about that?
Ooh, you're up in the ante, man.
I just upped the ante.
Keep up with that.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
It was like all in. You just pushed the chips to the center of the table.
I did. And
I don't play poker. I hope that's right.
Here is part of a hot, hot, hot topic. All right. Can't wait to see your face on this. If it's happening, we talked about Moondang. Remember Moondang?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The hippo. I have an official update on Moondang. Okay.
What is Moony up to?
Okay. In case you can't get enough of this little pygmy hippo, and he's from Thailand. She has now has her own favorite song. She has official song released in four languages, okay? It's an upbeat 50-second song called Moondang, Moondang. It's available in Thai.
Oh, she's got her own song.
Yeah, it's available in Thai. It's available in English, Chinese, and even Japanese versions of this. And it features simple lyrics like Moondang, Moondang, boing, boing, boing. Mommy, mommy.
Wait a minute. Back up. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hold on. Bang up. Yeah, you know where I'm going with this, Tyler. Wait a minute. Moondang, Moondang. Boing, boing, boing.
Listen. Tyler's got it.
Moondang, boing, boing. Boing, 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 boing. Moondang, boing, boing. Boing, 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 boing. Moondang, boing, boing. Boing, 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 boing. Moondang, boing, boing. Boing, 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 boing.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know if it's going to hit the Billboard charts.
I have some questions.
Yes.
I have some questions on this, on these lyrics. I'm sorry. My head is going in a very, very, very different direction than
I said I wanted to hear your reaction and see your face. Because
she's at such a loss for words.
Okay. Well, no, you see, I'm not at a loss for words. I'm just really trying to censor myself right now because we're live and on the radio. And, you know, Moondang, boing, boing. People, do you know where I'm going with this? That sounds a little, and yeah, a hippo. So, boing, no. That's
but I
not
have
what
to
I would
tell
put
you this,
together.
Though. Boing is means bounce. So, yes, that makes it even better. And also, it's not just the song. It has a music video that has short clips of the baby hippo bouncing and playing with her keeper or hanging out with her mom, Jonah. So we could take some meaning out if you catch the video. But if not, Moondang's name actually officially means bouncy pork. It's like a type of meatball in Thai.
All right, I'm out. I'm out. I'm just out. There's, you know what? I haven't been feeling good. Maybe it's the fever. I'm not sure. But,
well, they're saying Mudang likes to dang.
Good.
Just that they're saying dang, which means bounce. So they said she has a giddy bouncing. She's
they're
always
just
bouncing.
This poor thing up. It's just, it's too easy. This is just low hanging.
But here's
fruit,
the best
people.
Part about the hip.
Low hanging.
Mm-hmm. Mudang is now 4 months old because we reported when she was born.
Yes.
Right. She's four months old now.
Very cute.
She gets a huge amount of visitors at the zoo.
She does.
Get this one. The zoo is estimated has received 3,000 to 5,000 visitors a day on average in the past few months. And it's selling clothes now. It's selling bedding and other merchandise based on Mudang.
So you can sleep on Mudang. Boing, boing.
You just went right back to it. I was staying away
I'm
from
just,
it.
I was saying, you were saying bedding. I was saying that you could, I'm just asking from a branding perspective here where we are going with this. You see, when you said she had a favorite song, I was like, oh, cool. Carlos has got a favorite song too. But he has a favorite song. He likes Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede because he likes the Ooga Chaka part. So his little ears go up and he listens around. Yes, he likes blues. He likes Hooked on a Feeling. Yes, he loves that. Don't know why.
I remember that. See, now I'm going to be doing that. You put that in my head. Thanks.
It's a good song when you think about it, though. Yeah. I was like, you know, Carlos, you got a little bit of taste there. I'll give you that. And he likes Rock Me Gently by Andy Kim. I don't know why he's a 70s dog. But that's a little different than Mudang having a theme song that goes boing, boing, because now I'm seeing a little pink hippo like on a little pogo stick jumping around. You see, I'm in a very different place. I've been on a lot of meds this week, so I get a pass.
Well, but if Mudang shows up in one of your fantasy novels, I'm going
to
know.
I'm thinking I may have to.
Your creative
something.
Side is coming out because, I mean.
Yeah, I might have to do something with Mudang. Well, oh, that's not a bad tip. You know, it's, yeah, we're done tonight. It's, I'm just,
now,
I'm
I will say
it,
this
out.
On a good note, they said the increasing income coming in to the zoo from Mudang, it's yes. helping its breeding programs for many endangered
that's
species.
That's wonderful.
Like the pygmy hippopotamus, which is actually threatened by poaching and loss of habitat. I didn't know that. So all fooling aside, but I wonder if Mudang is going to hit the Billboard charts. That's the question. Maybe Deco Entertainment.
That to me sounds like an anime theme song. Like there's going to, an anime is going to come out and the hippo's probably getting a cartoon. Like, and that's probably going to be the thing. Cause it just sounds like, you know, what if she becomes one of the Sailor Moons? Like one of the Sailor Scouts, little Mudang, like with the little tiara and the skirt and the outfit. And like, I don't know what planet she is, but like, you know, she could be, you know, Sailor Mudang, you know, and then there she is. She got the little like thing and she's ready to go. She got the little jewel on her head. It could go in so many different ways.
See,
the zoo should just call me. We'll work it all out. We'll just work it out.
They should,
know?
But that was one of my hot topics. So I know you have one.
I can't top that. I mean,
yes,
just,
you can.
Mine was going in such a different direction and it was almost somber to go from Mudang to what I got. I'll try, but people don't get mad at me when I bring you down. I'm going from a bouncing hippo to Denzel Washington. I never thought I'd say that in a sentence. That's a very odd. That's like a Monica Geller. I'm gonna go into the, you know, the kitchen with, you know, Santa Claus and an aardvark kind of moment. So Denzel Washington is close to retirement. He has announced that he's only going to do three more projects and he's
really?
Done. Yep. Wow. One of them will be Othello because he started his first major thing was Othello. So he's gonna go back and do Othello. Okay. And then the other thing is he has signed on to do Black Panther 3. Which, you know, he was very much against like doing Marvel and DC, like the big comic book things. He was staying away. He doesn't have a problem with the movies, but it wasn't something that really got him going. But because of Chadwick Boseman, he said he's got to do it because Boseman had made a comment in one of his interviews of without Denzel Washington, there's no Black Panther because Denzel Washington paid for him to go to acting school through a scholarship. So Bozeman has always credited his whole career to Denzel Washington. If he didn't give him that piece, he wouldn't do it. So when Bozeman passed away, Washington said, I would step in and do something with Black Panther. So the writer, Ryan Coogler, is now actually writing a specific part as he's working on Black Panther 3 for Denzel Washington. He signed on. He said, yes, he's doing it. This is all because of Chadwick Boseman and his comment and how vocal he's been on what an inspiration Denzel was to him and that, you know, he did pay for him. So he is signed on, and that will be one of his last projects. There's three, but one of them is Black Panther 3. And then he's hanging it up. He's like, I've done everything. I've won the Oscar. I've done all this stuff. He's like, what's there left for me to do? But he will go out in a Marvel movie, which I think is kind of interesting, being that there's been so much backlash to comic book movies and there's comic book fatigue and all this other stuff. And yet one of the greatest actors of our time is going, no, I'm going to go out on a high note with a comic book movie.
Which is different. And you know what they say, you always want to go out on top, you know? So for him to do that, I'm a little surprised that he is, but I also think it takes some courage to do that.
Yeah, I thought that was like, and he's, you know, he's saying, he's like, it's not something maybe I would have done, but because of Bozeman and the way they're going about it, he said, like, there's really a spark in there and he wants to do it. So if you've seen Black Panther, you know, the new one is his sister. So there's a female, and that was true to the comics. That is, you know, his sister did take it over. But it's an interesting take. So he's going in, even like I said, during this time where most people are like, oh, there's a fatigue, like you have Scorsese saying, you know, they're crap and all this other stuff. He's kind of going in with, yeah, but I'm going to go in and give this a shot. So I kind of like that. I'm like, all right, you go in, Denzel, you show him. So I think it's kind of cool that he's like, let's go. And Colin Farrell, they think, is going to sweep the awards season this year with the Penguin. They think he's taking it all. They said the show is wrapped. They said it's amazing. And they think he's sweeping everything because he did such a phenomenal job. He absolutely hates doing it. He was at New York Comic Con. He was doing interviews. He hates it because he said he can't deal with the prosthetics and the fat suit, like all of it. He said he can't breathe under all of it.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah, but he's back. He has signed on for the rest of the next Bat films through Matt Reeves's universe. And they're going to green light the next couple of these. Like I said last week, they're going to be doing this villain origin story all through Matt Reeves's lens. So Joker is next. They said Catwoman will get one. Whether it's going to be Zoe Kravitz, I don't know. I'm not sure if she's going to get it, but that's where they're going to go with it. And they said Penguin will be back. I have not seen Penguin. I've only seen a couple of the episodes. I haven't seen the last one yet.
Right.
So I don't know where it landed. But yeah, that's where they're going with all of this. And they said that they want to kind of turn these worlds more toward television and make it more the Sopranos gritty thing and get away, at least DC does, from the cinema, because I don't think they can compete with Marvel.
Probably not.
Marvel's, I think DC's like starting to realize, like, you know, we haven't done such a good job there.
Right. And then there's always room for somebody somewhere, you know? So if Marvel stays in the cinema and then DC goes more towards television, or if television, you know, like when you have these streaming things too, lots of
Marvel's done very well streaming, you know, with Agatha and, you know, things like that. I think DC just has to get its footing on where it's going to go. They've cast their Green Lanterns. Adrian Pierre, I think that's his name. He is officially Jon Stewart for the Lanterns show. I think DC has to figure it out. If they stick with this very gritty look, they might be okay. I don't know. You know, Marvel's kind of doing their thing, but they're figuring out they're attracting bigger names. So we'll see. You know, I'm not sure. I think Catherine Hahn has also kind of done her job with showing people that there is a chop, you know, acting chops are needed for some of it. I hear Carlos walking around. So he's like, Mom, let me on. I got something to say about this. So we'll see. But yeah, Denzel's on for Black Panther 3. There's no other details about it. So as of right now, we don't know. Good guy, bad guy. I'm assuming he's going to play a good guy. Right.
I think I can't
see him going out like as a bad guy.
No, but Carlos, your pup has probably got Penguin on to say, catch up, Mom, catch up. You just said you didn't catch up on them all.
He's dressed up as Wolverine and he's dressed up as Wolverine, Spock. He has been Superman, The Flash, Han Solo, a minion. He's been everything, so I'm sure he's got a very specific opinion. Oh, and Batman. He's been Batman too. Complete in a patent leather Batmobile.
Wow.
So, yeah.
He's a cool dog. He's a cool pup. And speaking of cool pups, we have some cool things right here on Liberty Bell Smack. We have been doing telethons. This is not a whole telethon, but we have some things we'd like to give away to our listeners who are helping us out. So if you call in at 888-329-3306 or direct message Danielle or myself, or you can even drop us a line at Liberty Bell Smack, and actually at, man, I can't talk today, info@libertybellsmack.com. Drop us a line, because if you pledge $20 to $25, what are you giving them, Danielle?
I've made the decision. I'm going to give you the Oracle card set for the Birth of the Face series. I know it's kind of hard to see. I'm trying to like get the glare off of it.
Yeah.
But this is the first card, King Jarvok.
And is that black and white?
He's black and white in this one, because everything he sees is black and white.
Gotcha.
Ooh, hint.
There it is.
It says guarded. The first one is, number one is guarded. So there you go. So you will get the entire set, 78 cards in the set. And that's the front facing of it, which is color. So I will give that.
Beautiful. And I will give a copy of Extreme Chakra Cleansing for a Supercharged Life. These are going off the shelf pretty fast for the holidays. So we don't have a lot of these left. So if you want one and you pledge $20 to $25, I will gladly autograph it and send it to you. And it's cleaning all your chakras so you can have a supercharged life. And it's learning how to meditate with your eyes open so you don't fall asleep in there. And believe it or not, three of the tracks might get you up out of your seat and dance, out of all things. So it teaches you how to learn to meditate with your eyes open. So that's what we have for this. And Tyler is right on cue with our lovely music. So thank you. Thank you so very much for that. And we appreciate all of our sponsors who are doing that. Now, Tyler might not like this conversation. He might have to cover his ears. I don't know. But
okay, let me get comfortable for this. Okay.
People Magazine has announced their 2024 Sexiest Man Alive. Do you know who it is?
Yes, but I'd like to hear your opinion about it first.
Okay. For the folks that are listening, it's John Krasinski. Now, if you don't know who he is, if you ever watched The Office, he was on The Office, all right? And he was in The Office, I'm trying to remember the girl's name.
Pam,
thank you, that he was married to on that show, and the whole Office romance thing. And then I think he launched his own series or franchise, actually, called The Quiet Place, I believe it is, right?
He directed that, yes.
And then Jack Ryan, he became that. So he goes from The Office, he gets himself all buffed and did all this clean cut stuff to become like this muscular, I guess you would call it, action star.
Well, he was almost Captain America. It was down to him and Chris Evans. He walked out after, it's a very funny story. He's talked about this. He was supposed to be, he was down. They always wanted Chris Evans. Chris Evans, like, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it. So he went and tried on the costume. That's how close he was. He was there with Chris Hemsworth, and they were getting ready to do like on-screen chemistry reading. And he saw Hemsworth naked from the chest, like chest, bare chested, trying on the Thor costume. And he went, nope. And took off the pants and walked out. And that's why he just said, "This, I can't do this." So he was like inches away from being Captain America. All he had to do was finish these screen tests.
Right.
And he was putting on the Captain America suit, ready to rock. And then he looked and saw Hemsworth, who was walking around in half his Thor costume. And he was like, "No, no, 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 no." Took it off and went, "See ya," and walked out the door. And then they called Evans and was like, "We need you back." But yeah, he got buffed because he was Jack Ryan. It was during Jack Ryan time. So that's why he was all shaven and like, "Yeah, I'm going to do this." And he was like, no, I ain't doing this. And to be honest, that would be like, you know, like in my eyes, that'd be like me standing next to like Pamela Anderson and being like, let's get ready for a photo shoot, I'd be like, and I'm out.
Nope.
The door is gone. Which way? I'm sorry. Which way? Where do I go? Like, you know, I'd be like, and bye-bye. Like,
you just kind of admit it's just not your thing. I can't compete with that. Just, like, why would I try?
You know? I'd be looking at her going, you know, like, can you imagine walking, you know, her in her Baywatch, and I'd be like, where?
He went to Jack Ryan. I think that's a Tom Clancy character.
Yes.
And I think Jack Ryan was previously, I think Alec Baldwin played him. Harrison Ford played him. Ben Affleck. Yeah. These were all on the big screen.
That was on the big screen before he
became, you know, now Jack Ryan's on Amazon, you know? So he did that. And he's 45 years old, right? And he said they were asking, women were asking, like, what was your immediate reaction to this? You know, when you heard you are the sexiest man alive. And he said he just had immediate blackout, like actually zero thoughts, you know. And then he thought he was getting pranked, like somebody was pranking
him. I would have thought that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he couldn't believe it. And it's going to be in the newsstands. I think it already is. And he can't believe that it's actually happened. He says he thinks it's going to make him do more household chores and stuff like that. So I guess if you do a vacuum cleaner, you can look really sexy. I don't know. But I mean, in his 40th year, the first sexiest man alive in People magazine was Mel Gibson. Right. And then there was other recipients, I think was Brad Pitt, George Clooney, JFK Jr.
Richard Gere. I think Richard Gere has been twice, and same thing with Clooney, right?
David Beckham, Michael Jordan, I think was one. Pierce Bronson. I don't know.
Michael B. Jordan has been it. I know he was there. Yes.
And then Dwayne Johnson, Paul Rudd 1 year, you know, but this year they picked Krasinski. So now I have to ask you, in your eyes, do you think he is the sexiest man alive?
He's not bad looking at all. Not at all. Is he sexy? I don't know. He's Jim. He's Jim from The Office. Like, I can't, not my cup of tea in that sense, but I think he's a good looking guy. I think he's an intelligent guy. I don't know if he screams sex appeal. That makes sense. I'm not
if you were into the real boy girl thing and his relationship with Pam on The Office and how it blossomed and all, you could see like that written, if you will, into the stars romantic side. I think he's married to Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. Yeah.
I think
he's sweet. I think that's like, I look at him and I think, oh, he's a nice guy. He's sweet.
He's sweet.
Sexy. I'm not sure. I don't think smoldering. How's that? Like, I don't look at him and think smoldering. Like, well, he doesn't smize. I don't know. You know,
I'm curious to think what Tyler, our chosen producer, thinks. Do you want to weigh in on this?
I mean, not really. I fully agree with you. He's just Jim. Even if he throws on muscles or whatever, he's, you know, he can do a smolder. We've seen him in the Jack Ryan show or whatever. He can do that. But having the ability to do that does not mean it particularly works well every time. Like, so,
I'd be waiting for Michael Scott to come up behind him and be like, Jim, get over here. You know, just, I don't know. But
I just don't
Brad
know.
Pitt wasn't my cup of tea either. I have to be honest. Like, I never look at Brad Pitt and go, that's a sexy dude. I don't know. Like, I think Robert Downey Jr., like, that's sexy. Even though he's a little crazy, that's what makes him sexy. Like, he's
No, I think he is. And he has some type of charisma about him.
Yes.
There's a charisma that he has. I have to admit
I think sexy isn't always the looks. There's some sexiness. There's got to be something underneath. No pun intended. Don't go there. But there's sexiness is always not what you look like. It has to exude. It doesn't, you know, like I said, Krasinski's a good looking guy, but not sexy to me.
Right.
You know, Pitt is a good looking guy. To me, he's not sexy. I don't know. There's a little bit more.
Tell you this, that Donna wrote in, just going back to, I'm going back for full circle here. She says, everybody wants a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Donna. Bad girl. We're not going there, Donna. Boing, 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 boing.
Oh, she's asking who do either of us consider the sexiest man. I think we just said that, you know, with our little Iron Man.
I think Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Reynolds, I still think is sexy, but it's more his sense of humor that I find attractive. I mean, the package ain't bad, but like, it's more, you know, his attitude kind of does it than anything else. Like I said, I'm not kicking the package out by any means. And I like Paul Rudd. I've always thought Paul Rudd was hot. I think, you know, because he's self-deprecating.
I love him as an actor because he can go from being sweet to comedy to, you know what I'm saying? He's funny. He acts like he's carrying a lot of his roles and stuff. I like him for some reason. I always did.
I find Paul Rudd to be sexy. And I think it's also because I've liked him as he's gotten older.
Right.
There's something about that. I think Clooney's hot. I do. I like Clooney. Like if you were like Clooney or Pitt, I'm going to go with Clooney. Like that's more my thing because I also like the attitude behind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? I think and this even goes for women, as you mature and you know how they say with age comes wisdom, mm-hmm. that now it's not just living in this perfect body. You know what I'm saying? Now you're having the brains to go with it. Where
you also know the time and energy it takes going into that perfect body. You ain't ever going to see him.
You're never going to see him. So, you know, no. I absolutely, completely agree with that.
Well, you know, that's not going to happen. Henry Cavill, he's hot. He's sexy. He's also still got the Superman outfit. But that's a whole other thing. But Cavill's up there on that sexy list. I would say Cavill is.
Well, I do see that you're wearing a Kiss t-shirt for the band.
Yes,
do you find any of them sexy?
No, this is why I'm wearing it. Gene Simmons used to scare the hell out of me as a kid. And I had to get over my fear. So I learned to appreciate the band because he used to scare me so badly. I thought they were villains. Like I thought they were super villains as a kid when I saw them. I didn't understand they were a band and they like dressed up like this. So I thought they were super villains. So this was getting over my fear. I came to appreciate the band.
Well, that's why you're representing today.
Yes.
I hope you got that Deco Records. It's something we have to keep in mind.
they scared me. So,
if they scare you, give them a t-shirt.
Okay, I'm going to bring that full circle for a second. David Bowie in Labyrinth. Hot. Sexy. There you go. The Goblin King Jared.
With that giant cock piece, are you kidding me?
But hot. Oh my God. Now you, yes. There was something about him in that movie. And thank God that was supposed to be played by Michael Jackson. He wanted that part bad, but thank God for David Bowie. Yes. Bowie in that part. Hot. Really? Labyrinth was a great movie. Really? Did you just vomit a little in your mouth? Did you just pull out? Like, did you vomit? Like, seriously?
You're still going to remain our producer, right? He can't catch his breath. He's laughing so hard. Look at him.
If I die, you're out of luck.
Why would we do this?
Nobody wants to stay this long.
David Bowie in Labyrinth. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of people right now that are looking at the radio going, I'm telling you, go back, watch Labyrinth. Anybody out there and tell me you don't have some mixed feelings about the Goblin King. I mean, you are a little bit like, ooh.
I'll say it right here now. I do not have mixed feelings about the Goblin King.
I'm telling you right now, there are people at the rate, there are women right now go, I'm telling you. Go on Instagram and look.
Well,
telling
I guess.
You, the white pants, the hair, the Tina Turner hair. It's a very confusing moment. But I'm telling you.
He is really getting a belly laugh out of this. You know. It's amazing that this stuff happens on this show, right? I can't believe that yet another hour has gone by. I can't believe this, right? It goes by faster and faster, and our fans are tuning in more and more, and we thank you so much for doing this. And if you have a hot topic that you want us to talk about, like today, there must be a full moon in the air coming soon because we're talking about Sexiest Man Alive and everything else that could go on the show.
The Goblin King.
You have our...
Goblin King. I'm telling you, people are going to write in about Goblin King.
No one.
Well, until next time, if they write in, we're going to talk about it on next week's show. We'll read,
picture of them.
You know, info@libertybellsmack.com. Send it there. We would love to read that on the air. And
we're best next week, just for the Goblin King.
Absolutely. And we will be here next week on Liberty Bell Smack, right here on WWDBAM. I want to thank Deco Entertainment, because we've been talking about them. Want to thank the sexiest man alive, Moon Dang. Want to thank our chosen producer for putting up with us. At least he got a good belly laugh, so that makes me feel good, because laughter is the best medicine. And you can find it here every week on Liberty Bell Smack. And now it's time to count it down. Are you ready? I'm Marian Costello, along with Danielle Orsino, our chosen producer, Tyler. And right here on Liberty Bell Smack, here we go. Five, four, three, two, one.
Liberty Bell Smack. That's what we're talking about. I'm the Goblin King.